Hello listeners, this is Harry Benton speaking. It is good to greet you again and to welcome you all to another half hour of Radio Fellowship. The program you are tuned to is Times of Refreshing, a program of fine gospel music and meditation from the Word of God. The text we are going to consider briefly today is John chapter 1 and verse 29. Words spoken by John the Baptist as he stood on the banks of the River Jordan. He said to people who had gathered around him, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." In this well-known text of Scripture, there are three interesting things to consider. One, a great invitation is extended to us. Two, a great message is revealed to us. And three, a great privilege is to be enjoyed. It is our prayer as we ponder these three great things that each of our many listeners will be spiritually blessed. Now let's listen together and enjoy our first musical selection, the song entitled, "Love Was When."
Love was when God became a man, locked in time and space, without rank or place. Love was God, born of Jewish kin, just a carpenter with some fishermen. Love was when Jesus walked in history, lovingly he brought a new life that's free. Love was God, nailed to bleed and die, to reach and love one such as I.
Consider firstly the great invitation extended to us. John the Baptist implores us to take time to look carefully at what is about to be revealed. John says, "Behold the Lamb of God." John invites us to look with a contemplative look at a most unique person, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we do, I want you to imagine with me the context surrounding this great invitation. In the century before Christ, the Roman Empire had taken control of the whole of the Mediterranean region. Throughout this period, the empire was racked with civil unrest until about 30 BC, when Octavian, the first of the Roman emperors, instigated changes that initiated a prolonged period of peace, security, and prosperity throughout the empire. Palestine, however, whilst under Roman authority, was by no means a place of peace. In 63 BC, it was invaded by Pompey, and in 37 BC, Herod the Great was appointed the King of Palestine by the Roman Senate as the new successor of David. Herod the Great was a man of incredible suspicion, bribery, deceit, and murderous cruelty. From a material perspective, life in Jerusalem, like elsewhere in the empire, was prosperous and luxurious. However, moral corruption was also rife. Yet, life as it was, there was an overwhelming expectation that a Messiah was imminent, a royal one in the manner of a new king who would breathe new life into the nation. Friends, it was into this historical situation that John the Baptist came preaching. His preaching was different. It was challenging and aroused interest among the people. Many were eager to listen to the great invitation to behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. When John the Baptist commenced his ministry as the forerunner to our Lord Jesus, the Pharisees, the religious rulers at that time, sent a delegation to find out what John was about. In reply to their questions, he simply said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" John chapter 1 and verse 23. Did you know, friends, the coming of John the Baptist was the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, where we read, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye shall seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." When John the Baptist said to his hearers, "Make straight the way of the Lord," what he meant by that statement is that we are to remove every obstacle in our path in order that we might be ready to hear and respond to the word of truth as presented by John. But the problem is with many today, they have their own hidden agendas which stand as obstacles to finding the truth and to come to an understanding of the truth. The great invitation to behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world is not being accepted, for there is no desire in the heart of man to change. Thus, the truth passes them by. Following our next recording, we will look at the second great thing in our text. A great message is revealed.
Behold the man, behold the man, behold.
Take care. my grave.
Friends, in the great message revealed, we are invited to look to someone, not something. John says, "Behold the Lamb of God." When we tell people to look to Jesus as the Lamb, what does that mean to a drug addict, a gambler, businessman, a politician, a student, or a pensioner? Why should we look to the Lamb? Friends, I'm going to suggest to you two reasons why we should look to Jesus as the Lamb of God. First, we are to look to the Lamb because of one word, sin. S-I-N. We will never look to the Lamb until we first acknowledge the truth that we are sinners, no matter how distasteful and unpalatable that might be to our intellect. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And verse 23 of the same chapter says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There is not one exception, for sin is universal. Someone has put it this way, a simple definition of sin is missing the mark relentlessly and consistently. It is the inbuilt bias in the heart of man that makes him fall short of God's divine standard. Everywhere in our society today, we see the consequences of one man's sin, Adam's disobedience in the Garden of Eden. Sin separates us from God. It brings man under the wrath and judgment of God. Sin pays its wages. Sin degrades. It debases. It tempts to being deceitful and dishonest. Now, secondly, we are to look to the Lamb because sin can only be removed by atonement. God knew that it was utterly impossible for a man to stack up enough righteous acts of his own in order to merit God's favour. Sin cannot cancel sin, because in accounting terms, sin is always on the debit side of the ledger. Access into God's presence could only be attained through a substitutionary sacrifice. This was God's way. And when John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God, he is presented as the antitype, the fulfillment and climax of the Old Testament sacrificial system. The Jewish people were familiar with these ideas of sacrifices. They knew that the forgiveness of their sins was somehow connected with the sacrificial offerings of the Old Testament. However, they unfortunately came to suppose that there was greater virtue in religious system rather than the substance. John broke into their ritualistic view of things and pointed the crowds to look to a lamb of a different kind, a personified lamb who is of God's choosing, our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we too can be caught up in thinking that there is some inherent virtue in the good things we do. We reason that as long as we keep out of trouble, live an upright life, accumulate more moral credits than debits, then God will look favourably upon us. John tells us the only person that God looks favourably upon is his anointed lamb. God is not interested in our ability, our goodness, our self-sufficiency, or even our adequacy. The only good thing we can do is to look to the Lamb of God. So whether we are addicted to drugs, a gambler, a poet, a student, or a retiree, we must look to the Lamb of God because we are sinners and Jesus is God's appointed Lamb who makes atonement for our sin. Now this brings us to the third great thing in our text. A great privilege is to be enjoyed, which we will look at after our next recording. Can be beneficiaries of something we do not deserve. John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." This is a privilege for all of us to enjoy. In the giving up of his life, Jesus endured the cross with all its suffering, not to raise the Jewish nation to a temporal sovereignty, nor to enrich mankind with wealth and pleasure, nor to acquaint the minds of the inquisitive with philosophy and science. If this was his objective, Jesus would have been acceptable to the religious rulers and the Jewish people of his day. But by taking away sin, the greatest need of the human heart is met. Take away sin, and you take away the world's darkness and the world's misery, if only we will look to the Lamb of God. My dear friends, sin has affected us in two ways. One, it has brought us all under condemnation. We have no citizenship and no title to heaven, and we are left as outcasts. Two, sin has made us subject to its ascendancy and power, so that every affection and appetite is its minister and does its bidding, to the point that we cannot participate in the joys of heaven. For those who belong to the nation of Israel, every Jew had to provide and present as a sin offering a lamb that was without spot or blemish. What each had done for himself, God now does for all people. We read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26 that Jesus has appeared once and for all to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. He is the Lamb who takes away sin. The idea is to lift up and then raise up and remove as one lifts a burden and takes it away. Our Lord Jesus, in his atoning sacrifice, he takes away the condemnation, restores our citizenship so that we are no longer outcasts, and he also removes sin's soul-destroying power, so that in him we might be able to enjoy the fruits of heaven. My unsaved friend, this is a great privilege that you can really enjoy today. Listen to me. You are invited to look to the Lamb of God who can take away your sin and set you free from its awful consequences, enabling you to make a new start in life. With all our Christian love, we urge you to let Jesus do his work in your life. Look to him now. Confess your sin to God and seek his loving forgiveness, and invite Jesus Christ into your heart and life to be your Savior and Lord.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. O Lamb of God, I come.
Just as I am and waiting now to rid my soul of one dark cloud, to thee whose blood can cleanse its fall.
As we come to the end of another program, We remind all our listeners that today's program has been recorded on cassette and is available upon request, free and post-paid. If you so desire to have a copy for yourself or to use as a ministry to others, then we invite you to write to us at this address: Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 3140. When writing, be sure to include in your letter this number, 1122, program number 1122. And the mailing address again is Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 3140. This broadcast has been a radio missionary outreach of the Christian Brethren Assemblies of Victoria and is made possible by God's provision through His people. Friends, we have enjoyed your company today and we thank you for your listening support. Till next we meet, this is Harry Benton for the Voice of Melody team, wishing you God's richest blessing. Goodbye for now, and remember, keep looking up.